There's a great debate about whether Antiochus I was actually buried in this Hiero Theseion or not. We're not exactly sure when or how he died. He died sometime in the 30s BC, and there are actually two separate versions from the ancient sources that tell about how he died. Now, one says he simply died peacefully in the year 34 BC. And if that were the case, then he certainly would have been buried in his Hiero Theseion, as we know was his wish. Another version, though, claims that he was murdered in 37 BC, murdered by he was in some strange alliance with a Parthian king. And according to this story, he died violently and was murdered. We know from the inscription that Antiochus I was supposed to be buried within the tumulus at Nimrodah. But, interestingly enough, no tomb chamber has ever been discovered. The tumulus itself, I haven't talked too much about it yet, was of gravel. And if you visit it today, it's very, very loose, even now, 2 millennia after its construction. And so excavating into this tumulus had long been impossible because the minute you started digging in it, the gravel would just collapse down upon you. But in the last 20 years or so, with the increased ability to use mechanical means to sense the interior of mounds using ground-penetrating radar and other things, there have been countless investigations, well, several investigations, of this tumulus with the aim of finding a tomb chamber. Now, remember the one at Karakush, there was actually a burial chamber inside. Every study that's been conducted on this tumulus has come up empty-handed. There simply is no burial chamber within. If Antiochus I was buried here, he does not seem to have been buried within the tumulus. But there are more curious things about this. As I mentioned, the northern terrace was never finished, so it's very possible that, in fact, this monument may never have been used. The excavations that have taken place at this Hiero Theseion at Nimrodah have uncovered something quite strange. There has been discoveries of stone chips, which makes sense. The leavings from the carvings that took place there, the things, the reliefs were carved in position. There's actually even been discovered some metal tools that might relate to the construction of the Hiero Theseion. But one thing that is lacking is pottery. And essentially every tomb and every settlement that has been studied would reveal pottery. Pottery is used everywhere, and pottery simply does not disintegrate. Little sherds are always uncovered. And of course, part of what was supposed to happen at these festivals was feasting, and of course they would feast with pottery, feast off dishes. So now scholars are really questioning whether this huge monument that was constructed with so much care and so much attention, was it ever used? Was he ever buried there? Did these feasts ever take place? Did the people of Commagene actually come up twice a month to feast in his honor? And it would seem, with the evidence we have now, that perhaps this giant monument simply was never finished and certainly never used. Well, the kingdom of Commagene remained independent for another century, limping along in kind of a weakened state, still maintained as a client kingdom to help be a buffer zone between Rome and her Persian enemies. Ultimately, though, Rome did absorb Commagene into her empire, and we do know what happened to the last member of the royal house, another Antiochus, Antiochus Philopappus, and he ended his days in exile in Athens. He was a well-loved benefactor of the city, and he was buried on a hill overlooking the Acropolis. and I mention him just in passing because in our next lecture, we'll have an opportunity to mention him one more time and to connect the Commagenian kings to later Roman history. So in our next lecture, we will be focusing on what happened in Anatolia once the Romans truly were in charge.
This ends Lecture 12. Remember to visit this course's website at www.modernscholar.com, where you'll find additional information about the lectures you've just heard. If you borrowed this course from a public library and would like your own copy of the course guide for future reference, call Recorded Books at 1-800-636-3399 and we'll send you a free copy. A shipping charge will apply.